And as you know, it is a special day in our country, I guess around the world. And so we really welcome you. I like this sign. I put it up, welcome home. That's really what we do each Sunday, is it's like a little family reunion. And we come together, and sometimes on events like today, Easter, a few other days, we get a few extended family that's not usually with us. And so that's good, and we're glad to have you here. I do want you to know that on May 22nd, we're going to honor our graduates. And so we've got, I believe, six of them here that we will honor on that day, just to let you know with your plans and things like that. But today, we honor our mothers. And we love you, Mom. Thank you. You know, I heard an interesting story, because it's not easy to be a mom. And, you know, Mother's Day is kind of a mixed bag, because, to be honest with you, everybody didn't have a good mom. And for some people, this is a great day. And for some people, it is a difficult day. You know, we want to acknowledge that being a mom, like being a dad, it is difficult. And we need help beyond just ourselves to fulfill that role. I heard something the other day that was kind of a good example from it. You had a young mother. And how many of you know that nobody really trains a mom to be a mom? Like, you know, Megan Hughes has got a lot of experience at being a mom. You know, my guess is she's better at it now than she was seven ago. You learn as you go, don't you? Experience is a great teacher. What's interesting about it is that, you know, we start with no experience. And I don't know about you, because I'm not a mom. But being a dad, I was over my head in a few situations. And I needed a little advice at times, and sometimes I didn't handle things probably completely correctly. I heard this story about a young mom, and she had a young son who went to school, and he came home from the school, and the school had given him, you know, he was supposed to write this little report, you know, where did I come from? And it was probably about, you know, heritage, where did you come from, diversity, you know, all of that stuff like that. But this, you know, this mom, she's there, and her son comes in, and she says, Mom, where did I come from? And, of course, she immediately goes to the talk. And she's like, you know, she's not ready for it. He's not ready for it. She says, the stork brought you. And he said, really? And she said, yeah, the stork brought you. I don't want to talk about it. And he said, well, where did you come from? And she said, well, the stork brought me too. I don't want to talk about this anymore. And he said, well, where did Grandma come from? And she said, well, the stork brought Grandma too. Now just go to your room. I don't want to talk about this anymore. So he goes to his room, and he takes out his pencil and his paper, and he starts writing the report, and he says, there hasn't been a normal birth in my family for three generations. But how many of you sometimes feel like that as parents, as mothers, as fathers? You know that there's things that we're supposed to give our kids, but we're really not sure how to give them everything that they need. And a lot of times, we're over our heads, especially with the first one. Especially with the first one. And sometimes that's tough. But irrespective of that, God tells us we're supposed to honor and love our parents, right? For some of us, that's really easy. For some of us, it's difficult, but it's God's desire for us. And built inside the hearts of our kids is a love for us. You know, it's always been amazing to me. I taught school, started in 1979. I've seen a lot of families that probably would have a difficult day celebrating Mother's Day. Children that were having to take out of the home for some difficult situations. But what's really amazing is that almost all the time, those kids don't want to go. But at any rate, let's take a look at what Jesus said when he got a few of these questions. He was speaking, and a woman in the crowd called out, God bless your mother, the womb from which you came and the breasts that nursed you. And Jesus replied, but even more blessed are all those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? And what Jesus is really saying to the person who interrupts him is he's saying, yeah, but my mom, and God blesses for more than just giving physical birth and more than just taking care of physical needs. But there's more to that. And God bless that person even more who hears the word of God and puts it into practice. Someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside and they want to speak to you. Jesus asked, who's my mother? And who are my brothers? Then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my mothers and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Now that's really interesting, isn't it? Because you see, there's really two families that each one of us is a part of, hopefully. We're born into a physical family. And we have mothers who depended upon what their family was like and the things that happened in their lives and how they were prepared physically, do the best they can to be the best physical parent that they can be. But all of us know that the best person in the world, the most giving person in the world, cannot be the mother that God intended them to be. Because we're not just physical. We are spiritual beings. And unless we're born into the spiritual family of God, all of this very quickly fades away and becomes nothing. And we need that eternal spiritual connection with God. And so God is looking for mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and everyone in his family to do more than physical mothering, but to do spiritual mothering. And that takes total dependency on God, because how many of you, well, let me just ask you, who in here feels qualified to take that task on? Well, there's none of us that are. But in God's great wisdom and his grace, he provides for it. I love what Paul says in Romans 16:13. He says, greet Rufus, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own, and also his dear mother, who has been a mother to me. And I've had a great mother. I am one of the most fortunate people in the world. My mother has been an excellent role model. She has been a very, very good grace giver to me. And I have had a wonderful mother to guide me. And as she's gotten older, she became not only a good physical mother, but a good spiritual mother. Now, when she was younger, she was learning too. And as I grew up, there were some spiritual things that were lacking, and we all paid the price for them. And I am sorry, Mom, I made you pay them. But there are other people in my life also who have been part of that spiritual mothering, nurturing growth in my life. And that's part of God's plan too, because I've got a family that's bigger than the Spencers. I've got a family that calls the name of Christ. I've got lots of brothers and sisters. I've got lots of fathers in the faith, and I've got lots of mothers in the faith. Now, I've only got one physical one, and she's very, very important. But she's not the only input. And there have been other women who have taken me in, who have cared for me, and who have helped me. And they're an important part of my life. And they added great things to my life. I remember your genuine faith, Paul tells Timothy. For you share the faith that first filled your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I know that the same faith continues strong in you. Now, there's the spiritual side of the mothering. Because that's the important thing, is do those around us that God gives us a position of influence, starting with our physical children. But we have more people that God has in our family he wants us to influence than just our physical children. But do they learn through their contact with us how to live by faith? Because we all know if they don't, they don't have what it takes. And they move towards cycles of pain and cycles of difficulty rather than cycles of victory through God's grace and thanksgiving to him and joy for what he has done that you could not have done for yourself. So motherhood goes beyond just the children that you have. As a matter of fact, I've had people who have had a mothering influence on me that did not have children. Paul puts it this way, so even those of us who are men can learn from a Mother's Day sermon. Because Paul learned about spiritual life through women who mothered him. If you will think about it, Jesus spent almost all of his time with 12 men. None of them knew what was happening when it came to the end. There were a couple of women who were on the outskirts following around, ministering to him, watching him, but were not involved in all of the Bible study sessions. They anointed him because they understood what was happening. There is something that is put inside the heart of the mother. You know, in the beginning, God created them male and female. He created them. And there's a part of what is born in the heart of a woman that is the image of God, that if every man does not let that have an influence and balance his life out, he's not going to perceive the spiritual things that God wants for him. But Paul said this, he said, we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. I wonder where he learned that. I know where I learned it. Because you have become so dear to us. And there are many of us in this room that we understand what it means to love and serve people like Christ wants us to sacrifice for them, to put them first, to carry their burdens because of our close contact as we grew up with our mother. Now, every physical mother did not transfer that to her children. But that's okay because we don't have only a physical family. We have a spiritual family that was really created to meet those spiritual needs. And we can't expect someone who is young in the faith or someone who doesn't have any faith to give us what God wants us to have. As a matter of fact, not one of us has the ability to give anyone everything God wants for them. That's why our family is pretty big. I love this little picture right here. This is Ann Runyon, and it's Allison Petty giving Ann a quilt that she made. You know how this happened? Allison's grandmother makes quilts for orphanages and for veterans coming back who've had difficulties called Quilts for Valor. And, you know, she wanted Allison not to learn how to make quilts, but she wanted her to learn how to love outside of herself and serve other people. Well, how do you do that? In a Bible study? Well, she could have read some of the verses to her and gone away, and that would be good, but how many of you know knowledge that's not put into practice is not really spiritual growth? So what'd she do? She said, come on in here, let me help you make these quilts. That time they had making the quilts, I'm sure there were all kinds of things that happened that looked like it wasn't no big deal. But spending that time together with someone who is showing you how to live a godly life, that's a big deal. And so out of her heart, she says, I love Miss Ann. I want to make a quilt for her. So they found out her favorite color, and she made a quilt, and she gave it to her. Now, I want to tell you something. I haven't had a conversation with her grandmother, but I will bet you when Allison said, I love Miss Ann. I want to make for her, she understood God had used her to mother in the way she was created to. And that is what God wants from us. Titus says, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. These older women should, no, wait a second, hold it. Could, no, wait a second, hold it. Must train the younger woman to love. And I want to tell you something. You don't get trained to love reading a book. You get trained to love watching the Word become flesh and demonstrated inside the hearts of others. And God wants those of us who have grown to teach those of us who are growing. And that is a part of his plan. You know, Paul did not call for Titus as the pastor or the men or even the husbands to teach these things to the women. He called for the other women to teach him. I'd like to teach my wife stuff, but tell you the truth, I'm not a woman. I don't understand what a woman's life is like. I don't understand the pressures of a woman. I got my own pressures. I would like to step back, and I try to step back sometimes and see things from her perspective, but unfortunately, the pressures of my life do not allow me enough time to think like a woman. And don't say I do. Okay. I'm trying to, and I'm getting better at it as women have some impact in my life and help me to see things from a broader perspective than just my manly perspective. But women need women, and they need women in their lives. And so women have been singled out in the church, and the rest of that passage tells us that they are to learn how to, or teach them how to love their husbands, how to love their children. Man, wouldn't you wish when you started off as a young parent that someone had come in and taught you how to discipline your children lovingly? Some of you just naturally do it, but I'll tell you, it's a struggle for most of us. How do I communicate grace and yet responsibility to my children? I wish I could have known what I know now when I started with my first one, don't you? There are people who had experienced that before. And they want to teach us, or they need to teach us, to learn to be reverent. Let me tell you, this is an interesting word. It's the only time this word is used in the entire Bible. It's translated reverent, which is used several times in the Bible, but it's the only time this Greek word is used, and it gives the context of being priestly. Thank you. I'll read this whole verse. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, and to work in their homes and to do good and to be submissive to their husbands. Let me tell you something, that's probably not an easy thing to learn either. And it's probably pretty tough for a man to teach it. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. He's charged them with seeking out and meeting with every younger woman in the church. And I'll tell you, every younger woman in this church needs someone to help them learn how to live and love. And if they're left to themselves, they will not learn all that God wants from them. But women in Western society have a difficult time with this, just like men do. And part of it is because our society is isolated. I remember when I was a young man in Mississippi, you could not go on a walk for exercise. I don't believe I ever saw anyone go on a walk for exercise. I saw people at the track. You know why you couldn't go on a walk for exercise? Because you can't walk past the people on the porch who say, "Hey, how you doing? Come on up and have a glass of tea. How about a piece of cake or a cookie?" We spent time with each other. We knew our neighbors. We knew what was happening in their lives. We knew the difference between godly people and ungodly people because we saw how they handled their struggles in life. Let me tell you something, in our society today, we have no idea what's going on behind the closed doors. We're not connected with people. As a matter of fact, our society has taught us that you can disciple yourself. Well, Jesus said we're supposed to go and make disciples, and I want to tell you something. You can't do it other than God's way. We can't say, "Well, God, I know we're supposed to go disciple others, but I wrote a good book." He can disciple himself. He doesn't have to see the Word made flesh. You know, as a matter of fact, why did you even come? We had the Old Testament. We already had the Word. Why did the Word have to come and be flesh for us to become Christians? The same reason we have to go make disciples. And if you're in your house and you're young and you don't know how to live for God, you can read a ton of books, but they don't actually have your situation in it.
and they don't have the wisdom of someone who can draw on their experiences of faith. And that's why God didn't set it up that way. And that word reverent means priestly. So let me reread it that way. Teach the older women to be priestly in the way they live. In other words, grab the hand of one person and grab God's hands and bring them together. That's how you're supposed to live. That's how you're supposed to live. That's how God works, through people and through relationships. And it's very important. And I know it's difficult. It's difficult for men to do. It's even more difficult for women, because most women in our society now have jobs. So they have to live doing the work of a man and come home. And unfortunately, most of the time, they have to do much more of the work that was originally a woman without a lot of help, right? So you've got two full-time jobs, one out and one in, and you're supposed to disciple, and you've got technology all around you. So it's easy not to have contact with people, because you can entertain yourself, and when you have contact, you can do it on Facebook without really engaging and knowing the person. And I'm not saying Facebook is bad. I think it's good. One of these days, I'm going to get the time to get on it. Right now, I get on it when somebody tells me, you got to read this, because there is good stuff on it, right? But it cannot be a substitute for knowing people. It cannot be a substitute for loving people. We learn how to love by watching other people love, especially when they're loving us. We understood what love was because he first loved us, and we saw it on the cross. And we learn from those things. Now, a godly woman's home is not only a secure refuge for her family, but it's a base for loving and serving and reaching out to others. I'm going to ask Jill Pratt to come up here for just a minute, and I'm going to let her just give a little testimony, because most everybody in here knows Jill. And Jill had the privilege of someone doing this in her life when she was younger. And so she saw, and God put in her heart to be able to reach out and love other women. Now, All right, there we go. And what I really want, Jill, is just, I'm just going to ask you to tell us, why do you reach out to love other younger women? And I don't mean necessarily younger in age, but younger in faith, mostly younger in age. How did God put that in your heart?
Well, see, from the beginning of my spiritual walk, women invested in me. When I was 17, my friend started going to church, and so she started asking me to youth group. And it took a whole year before I asked Christ to be my Savior. But when I did, everything just fell into place. All of a sudden, it was like panic, because in 3 months, Susan and I were going to LSU, which is number one party school in the nation. And here we were, brand new Christians, going to LSU. So the youth group leader apparently had spread out the word, and the person who ran the Christian bookstore had books for me. She'd been praying for me for 2 years. They put us into a Bible study to get us grounded into the word. I also had an aunt that I didn't even know start sending me letters and sending me booklets and pamphlets, and I found out that she and my grandma and her husband had been praying for all the grandkids for years, and I was the first one to get saved. So she'd been stockpiling all this stuff and started sending me all this. So I was reading, getting ready, what is going to happen in this place? And they told us that we needed to find an action group leader, someone that would disciple us. So someone with Campus Crusade for Christ, because they had that at LSU. So when we went to LSU, during orientation, I went around asking everybody, do you go to Campus Crusade for Christ? Do you go to Campus Crusade? You know. Finally, I found someone said, I have heard of someone that's done that before. And they told us where to meet someone at the Union, Christian Corner. So I went and sat and waited at Christian Corner. And along came this woman and sat down after a while. And I said, excuse me, are you a Christian? Do you go to Campus Crusade for Christ? Do you have an action group? Can you take on two more? And Patricia, very quiet, looked at me and said, are you a freshman? Yeah. her action group had graduated out. She was working on her master's. She didn't have an action group at the time, so she took us on. And Patricia taught us, not only did she ground us in scripture, and she taught me how to hymns that I didn't know, praise songs I didn't know, how to pray. She answered our crazy questions. But she helped us as freshmen, brand new Christians, entering this huge school, how to address situations that were going to be coming up, how to be prepared for things. But one of the things that she taught me was that I couldn't just take it in. I had been doing all this studying and taking it in, but not passing it on. So if I just take it in, then I become like the Dead Sea, because it's going nowhere. But if I pass it on, then I become like the Red Sea, and it's full of life. And there's going to be storms, but there's life in that. So then I had an action group. And so what Patricia would teach us, then I would pass on. And I learned that it's not that, okay, it's just done. You grow exponentially. I mean, it's like a huge explosion. It was so big to be able to pass that on, because I'm seeing God bless Patricia, and then in my life, and Susan's life, and then in Claire and Lee's lives, all of this was just growing bigger and bigger. And it's captivating. It's something you want to be a part of. And it's very exciting to see. A storm came when I was 20. I was told I would have no children. Bunch of tests run, no kids. It was devastating. When my grandma, who loved the Lord very much, said, we're going to pray about this. So she and my aunt and that uncle, they prayed about it. You know, I have 5 kids with 5 spouses, 12 grandkids, and a great-grandson. Guess what? See, the faith of her faith. She wasn't just my grandma. I called her my godma, because she represented to me so much about what I wanted to know about the Lord. So I believe that we are called as moms to invest not just love, but to invest in them, to teach them Jesus' love. Especially since I was told I'd have no kids. That's very intentional for me. And I enjoy so much meeting with women and being with women in the church. I spend time on Facebook, messaging, texting. But there's nothing like getting together at small group time and getting those hugs. Mm-hmm. And seeing the light go on when John's teaching, and you know, you got someone taking notes over here, and you got someone coming from home with all these verses that she's been studying because it came from that, and she's all excited about what God has been teaching her, and then how God's answering prayer to this person over here. It is enough it just explodes inside you. So they're investing in me more than I'm investing in them. And by the way, this church has invested in us in a tremendous way, because they invested in Hannah and Jonathan and Tobin and Jonah. You guys have sent them cards. You've sent them gift cards. You've done so much for them. And when you invest in them, I take it to heart as well. And I thank you so much for doing that. You have just your love and going and visiting them. Oh my goodness, they just appreciate it so much. So.
Well, thank you. And I'm not. I'm going to let you go sit down so I don't embarrass you, but I'm going to say a few things about what she said. How many of you know that's a really great testimony? And there are a couple of things that I want you to see right there. First off, how many of you think that Jill would not be the person she was if it was not for those people? You know, it was those people who were arranging things and praying for her and sending things ahead and doing things. It was people just loving her that God used to help her get where she's at. That doesn't happen when people don't love you. I'm not saying God can't work in your life, but he can't work in your life like that without his people joining him in the work. And so that is a part of that. It does several things. One, it allows her, like you notice, she came in there as a freshman, and all of a sudden there's an opportunity for her to do the same thing, and she, well, I guess that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what they did for me. And the reaction of people around is, aren't you a freshman?
Let me tell you something. We ask ourselves that question all the time. I'm just a freshman. I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm going to be over my head. How can I lead somebody? You know, well, we're supposed to love people. God does the leading. But what happens is that she steps out and she does that, and she said her spiritual life explodes. That's how it happens. Spiritual lives don't explode unless we're involved and connected where God wants us to be, loving like he wants us to love. But what happens is she starts to see what God is doing. And she starts to see how big it is. It's easy for me to have faith. I see what God is doing in your lives all the time. There are a lot of people in this congregation doing what Jill is doing in different ways. They don't have to be formal ways. I had someone who told me that when they were younger, the best thing that happened to them, they grew up in this church, and, well, I don't know if they grew up, but when they were young and had children at first, David Grant was the youth pastor here, and his wife, Julie, invited her to come over and just do laundry and sit around and just be a part of their lives. And she told me, she said, you know, I watched how she talked to her kids, and I learned. I watched how she talked to her husband, and I learned. I watched how she handled struggles, because she saw they struggled. And she saw how faith makes a difference. And so she grew. How do you grow without that? How would our children be if we abandoned them and didn't help them physically grow and mature? Well, they'd be physically immature. How is a person going to be without spiritual mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters investing in their lives and loving? Well, they're not going to know what the true love of God is like. But when they see it and they become part of it, their lives explode. Now, here's just a few simple steps of discipling. Because sometimes people make discipling just too big a deal. I love these. I got this off the internet from a woman, because this is Mother's Day. This is a woman's perspective of how to fulfill Titus 2, 3 through 5. Ask lots of questions. Listen, be interested, and be slow to give unsolicited advice. You know, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to do that. You just have to be someone who cares. Tell women what you've been reading and thinking about. They may not say much, but they're listening. They won't say much when they're not thinking the same way, but they're taking note. All that is just sharing what's on your heart. Here's what touches me. Here's what it motivates me. Here's what I feel like is happening in my life. This is what I need. This is what God's doing here. Just share what's touching you. Keep on hand some favorite Christian books to lend and give away. Ask follow-up questions. Read a book with a younger woman. That's not too difficult, but that's the kind of ways that Jill started out there at LSU. She didn't have all the Bible knowledge in the world. I'm sure she had some kind of material they gave her. And she read it and gave it to them and said, what do you think? And they grow together. Share how you read the Bible and pray. I do that all the time. I'm always telling people, this is how I read the Bible, small chunks with colored pencils. So how many of you have heard me tell you how I read the Bible? You don't have to read the Bible the way I do. But it helps to see how other people do it. Talk about how you deal with temptations, worry, and gossip. Invite women into your home. Let them see how you run things. Teach a young woman how to make and keep a budget. Don't try to make your house look perfect, because theirs doesn't. And yours doesn't once they leave. If you're married, welcome a single woman into your family, especially on difficult occasions like New Year's Eve. Let her see your struggles so she doesn't idolize marriage and think it's something that she doesn't have and it doesn't come with some struggles also. Show how your trust remains firmly in the Lord and how you serve him in your circumstances. Be intentional when you go to church. Sit next to a younger woman. Ask her how she's growing as a Christian. Pray for women at church. Befriend teenage girls in your church. Enlist a young woman's help in helping others. Spend a day together cooking casseroles, making quilts. For people in your church, show them how to serve. Visit old people. Teach a Sunday school class together. Be generous with praise and encouragement. It's great seeing you reaching out to women at work, or your children are a delight, or you're doing just fine. Hang in there. But don't flatter just for the sake of it. Be involved in women's lives. Ring them up. I think that means call them on the phone. Remember their details and ask about them. Write a younger woman an encouraging note telling her how you have seen her grow in godliness. Call a young woman each week and ask her how you can pray for her. Invest in a younger woman and encourage her to invest in someone else. Talk about yourself, share your life, thoughts, and struggles. Let younger women see your progress. Let them see you growing. How else do they grow? Now, what if you're a younger woman? I'm going to ask Emily Baker to come up for just a second. And I'm going to let her look at the other side. Jill is, I'm not going to say she's an older woman. She's a more mature woman who's had more experience and some extra years, too, than Emily. And she gave a little testimony of how she came in and people worked in her lives. But really, we all know and see how she gives, like many other women do. Emily, being a young woman and not knowing everything in the world, what has it meant to you to be able to have several women in this church that have given you time, invested in you?
Honestly, there's been two things that have been really sticking out to me. And actually, even before you asked me, it's been really like on my mind recently. And one of them is just appreciation of family, because that's something I really struggled with for the longest time. I'm very isolated. And that's two people there that actually have really spoken out to me in that. And that's Kathy Petty and Jesse Oates. And just with both of y'all have either had like divided families or you've come into a new family. And that's something that really, really stuck out to me. And even though I'm not like crazy close, that's something that... just having also a divided family, that's something where it's like, oh, that's real. Like, you don't have to be just substituted in or superficially, like, together, but that actually is real bonded love that you actually care and invest in.
Let me stop you right here for just a second. I want to hit this point. How many of you have seen Emily here a lot and had no idea that she struggled with those things? Let me tell you, God knows. And I know that there are a bunch of different women who have invested in her life. And she spent time with her. Do you notice that immediately her mind goes to two who relate to exactly the same struggle she's having? There's no coincidence in that. That's how God works. He's brought people into her life for what she needs. And there's more too, but go ahead and finish. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. And then the second part was how to love my mom better, actually. And that would be Carmen and Lisa. Because... with Lisa, at least, like, there's just incredible gentleness, and that's something that is very hard for me to relate to with my mom, at least. Just my mom's a single mom.
I believe
mom.
That's a gift of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and my mom's like a single mom and all that, and so she works a lot harder than other people have to, and she does my dad's job, which is just being really strict. And so that's something that actually, like, struck out to me as actually, like, one of God's qualities, where it's like, oh, God's gentle. Like, God's not just crazy strict. Like, I always thought for the longest time that God was going to strike me down, like, a lot. but thank you, Lisa, for showing me otherwise. And for Carmen, just her strength, actually, just for the amount that she's gone through, and that women can be strong, too, as mothers. And they've all shown me how to love my mother better, because she's just been through a lot, and she does the very best that she can. But that's something that I did not actually see that before I met them. I just kind of took that for granted, and I also held that against her. It was like, oh, why are you not here? Why aren't you doing this? Or why are you doing that? Because that's what you're supposed to do. And it's like, they all showed me, like, no, this is what she is doing, and look how insurmountable that is. And all of that together has helped me love my mom better, but also love my brothers better. Like, obviously, I'm not a mother, but... my brothers also have a divided family, and so it helps me love them when she's busy. So.
Well, Emily, thank you very much. There's a ton in what you said right there.
Sorry.
And I appreciate that. I'm going to let you sit down so I don't embarrass you while I talk a minute about what you've said also. But isn't it a miracle? Where you've got someone who is seeing the fruits of the Spirit, and they're seeing the reality of what God does. You know what God's will for her is to have her heart conformed to the image of Christ. You know, Everybody had the Old Testament and read it, but there was blinders, the Bible says, before their eyes. Christ came and died on the cross and loved us, and all of a sudden the blinders were taken off. Well, that's really what these women have done in her life. She had that Bible, and she sat in there and listened to the sermons and things like that, but then she had someone come and be gentle in front of her, and she saw what that meant. You heard her say, "I saw." That's the key. And look what God has done in her life. And those of you who are around her know that Emily is not the same person she was a couple of years ago. Her heart has grown and exploded, and that love of Christ has come through, and she knows Christ in a different way. And I'm telling you, she would not do that if those women would not have taught her and trained her how to live and how to love. It happens in the church that way. If you're a younger woman, seek out women who are standing firm in their faith, who have persevered through suffering, who have a heart for evangelism, who have raised their children well, who respect their husband, who trust God through long-term singleness or childness. Attach yourself to these older women you respect and ask questions. Ask an older woman to invest in you, to read a book with you, or to pray with you. Older women may not realize what they have to offer, especially in our society. I think that is one of the things that has hurt the church most in our generation. Women do not realize what they have to offer. And they do not realize that the Bible teaches us that if they do not train younger women, you have another lost generation who know about the Bible but don't understand the heart of the Bible. It comes from heart to heart through people, and men don't train women. Women train women. Doesn't mean men can't lead, but there's a difference between being trained and being led that way. They may not want to push themselves to do that, so maybe if you're a younger woman and you're sitting there and you're longing, and I hear that from people, I hear it from men, I want somebody to invest in my life. I can't find anybody to invest in my life. There are women, even here, that want desperately for someone who has faith and has experience to invest in their life. They long for it and can't find one. Well, take a little initiative. If you're in that position, look for someone, and you make the first step. You may be helping them as well as they are helping you. Find a woman who excels in the kind of ministry, hospital visitation, counseling, encouragement, cooking for large gatherings. Ask if you can go along and learn from her. I learn a lot just watching Jeanette put out table things and the heart that she does it with each week. You see a person's spirit when you watch them serve and live. Call an older woman and ask for advice and prayer. The next time you struggle to pray, manage your time well or love those you live with. It's interesting. She watched people love her, and what did it make her think? I need to love my mom. I need to love my brothers. When there are no older women available, seek mentoring from distance. Read biographies of Christian women who stood firm. Read books and listen to talks by Christian women, but don't stop praying. God will bring you someone. Because you can help grow, but you can't grow outside a community like God wants. You need those connections. I'm going to end with this right here. This is from Jean Williams. She was writing this in connection with asking women to broaden their vision of why God has them here. She says, "This isn't just my dream. Every Christian woman has a responsibility to help women who are younger in age or in faith to grow in godly womanhood. If you're a Christian woman and this doesn't lie close to your heart and shape your priorities, you need to ask yourself why. We don't all have the same gifts, and we'll respond to God's call in Titus 2 in different ways, but our Lord Jesus Christ has committed younger women to our care. The desire of my heart is to see a new generation of Titus 2 women in our churches, older women who devote themselves to teaching and training younger women. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I committed to asking God to raise up women like this? In the meantime, let's be the answer to our own prayer." That's the part, the reason I put it in. I love that part right there. Let's be the answer to our own prayer. Now, it's a wonderful thing to be able to look around and see how many people here are connected to someone else who has made a tremendous input and investment in their life. And we want that to grow and to grow and to grow and to grow. And so I just put that out. And I lay that out on the table for you to sink and let that sink into your heart. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much for your great love for us. And those of us who come from families where we have been blessed from generations to generations to generations that passed love, joy, and peace through their families, and we were just the benefactors of that legacy of faith, that we grew up in a family where Christ was the center and where we were taught to be gentle and to be loving and to be honest and to live the way that honors and pleases you. We thank you for that family. And we thank you for the others who are around that added to that physical family to do that. Because that is an enormous gift that many don't have, and we should never forget what a privilege that is. And we pray also, Lord, for all of the people who have grown up in homes where that was not passed from generation to generation, but you have got a hold of their heart and called them out. And you have put in their heart a desire to live for you, a desire to see your love grow in their lives and spread through their families. And I pray for each one of those people that you will bring someone or several people alongside them to help love them like those ladies loved Jill. Help shape their life. Help put faith and love and joy and wisdom into their hearts. Just to be tools of your Holy Spirit to help them grow. And we ask you, Lord, for each one of our families that you establish yourself as the center, that your love and your grace consumes our hearts and our households, that you teach us how to love and care for and connect with and be a part of the lives of the people that you have put around us in a way that the power of your Holy Spirit does marvelous things. Open our eyes to a great vision of what gifts we have. And Lord, help us to use them in a better way than we have before. Help us to continue to grow. Help us to see everyone that comes in this building that needs help. And I pray you'll put on the heart of someone to be that help for them. And we just thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you for those who have been our mothers, who have been our spiritual mothers, and even who are men that, like Paul, loved us like a mother. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.